All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, July 22nd of 2024. Looking ahead here, we have a nine-game MLB main slate later this evening. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second way, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and we do the show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. But it is Monday here, so we do have to announce the winners. This is actually our final week of the Max Challenge here. So I'm sorry, not the Max Challenge, the Golf Summer Challenge. The Birdie Battle, of 2024, where we're giving away two Masters tickets. So if you go and look at the schedule here, big kudos to you. Big shout out to everybody who participated, whether you played all of the majors, whether you guys played each and every week here. The Birdie Battle is coming to a close here. So there's going to be some communication, just so everybody's aware, around end of the season prizes and around the free roll for the Masters giveaway. That is not going to be taking place this upcoming tournament. We're going to be, my understanding is, within about a week here, you should receive an email from us talking about what you achieved as far as end of the season prizes and more communication around the end of the season free roll. The free roll will probably be like 3 to 4 weeks out here. So we're going to take a little bit of a break, and we are going to circle back to the free roll sometime in August here. So expect more communication. Reminder, guys, like, you know, we're not going to let this sneak up on you. We're going to give everybody plenty of time and plenty of notice to make sure that people can get entered, people can get their lineups in, people are aware of when the free roll is. So don't worry, we're not going to let it sneak up on you. We're not going to hit you with it last minute here. So just wanted to let you guys know what the future looks like here in regards to those things. But as far as what we have to do today, we have to announce the top finisher for last week's tournament. So they're going to get a custom SaberSim golf hat and an entry into the end of the season Masters free roll. There will be no drawing for a random entrant because there are no more weeks left in the Birdie Battle. So our top finisher for the week was eSmitty11 with a fourth place, 444.5 points here. So congratulations, eSmitty. Our support team will reach out to you, letting you communicating to you about your prizes here. Just taking a look here, you know, we actually did not have a winner during anybody who won the Birdie Battle. However, we had so many close finishes, right? Fourth place, third place, second place, fifth place, fifth place. So SaberSim users finished second, third, fourth, fifth, and fifth again. We have an eighth place here. So a lot of top tens, a lot of high scores, a lot of, strong showings from SaberSim users. So we really appreciate you guys participating in these things. We're trying to, bring new prizes and get people interested in, DFS in a number of ways here. So thank you all for participating, and our team will be reaching out to you to let you know if you have earned any end of the season prizes here and how that all works. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up here and let's jump into some questions, but did want to take a minute to talk about the Birdie Battle before jumping into our regularly scheduled show here. And it looks like we have a few questions here to start with that came in from Sammy. So we will start with those. And then if anybody has any questions, now is a good time to get those in the queue. But let's just start in this fresh build here, build two. And first question from Sammy. And question says, When referring to the min uniques, I feel that most of the angles to use are for the 150 max. Does the same apply to the 20 max contest as well? In my opinion, you definitely should be using min uniques across the board here. You know, whether you are building, you know, five single entries in one build, you know, I think you should be using min uniques. Whether you're playing 20 max, whether you're playing 150 max, I think you should be using it. Understand that, you know, min uniques is how high you can go is typically a product of your lineup to pool ratio. So how many lineups are in the my lineups box versus how many lineups did you build in your entire pool? And the bigger that ratio, you know, if you need 20 lineups out of 5,000, well, you're going to have more opportunities to get to a higher number of min uniques as opposed to playing, you know, 500 lineups out of 5,000, right? So that's kind of what I'm referring to when I'm talking about this lineup to pool ratio. But you should definitely be using I've been talking about using mini-uniques differently than the way Jordan does it for like a very long time. And, you know, it just comes down to the fact that there isn't one right way to use it. It is a tool in your toolbox and, you know, you can use it a number of different ways and still be successful with it. So it, in my opinion, you know, it's a risk management tool. It's a diversification tool, but you need to decide, you know, what your risk tolerance is. And then based on your risk tolerance will be the right way to use that risk management tool is kind of the way I look at it. So I like to use it in a little bit different way than Jordan, not saying that his way is wrong or right or whatever it is. But, you know, I think it's good that you guys get different opinions as well. You know what I mean? You know, I kind of describe it one way. Jordan describes it a little bit a different way. You know, I bet you if you ask Chris, like he might describe it even a little bit differently as well. And that's good. You know, you're getting different perspectives on a tool and trying to figure out, you know, the right way for you to use it. And, you know, when I was really learning DFS, I would listen to everything and it's like, okay, you know, I want to take a little bit from this source, a little bit from that source, a little bit from this source. And then you ultimately end up creating something that's your own based on listening to all of these different people. So I think that's actually ends up being a good thing at the end of the day, getting all these different perspectives. But going back to the original question, yes, you should be using it for 20 max, you know, a portfolio of single entry lineups, et cetera here. Right. So good question. All right. A couple more here. And questions. First one is, when looking at the leverage, how much is too much leverage in comparison? Are the numbers read by percentage as well? If not, let me know. Thanks. In reference to the prior question, top positive leverage is 20 points different from the second best. Is that too much in between, or is it better to even the numbers out from the top positive and top negative? Thanks. Okay, so talking about leverage here, right? So let's just start at what leverage is, right? What is leverage describing? What is it doing? So this leverage column that you see in the app, what it is doing is, it, and you could hover over it too, and it'll pop up like a little definition. So when you hover over it, it says, shows your leverage on the field by calculating your exposure to a player minus projected ownership of that player. So what we're doing is we're taking this 95% exposure in your 20 lineups. We are subtracting the player's ownership, 37.2%. And then we are basically giving whatever is left in that left over there, which ends up being 57.8. And then this is effectively a percentage. So what we're saying is like, hey, you have positive leverage on Hunter Green. He is in, you know, 57% more of your lineups than we expect him to be in the field. So, you know, the field is approximately going to have this player in 37 out of 100 lineups. You have him in 19 out of your 20, which is a way bigger percentage than we're expecting other people to have. So that's what it's describing. Now, as far as what's a good number, the way I like to think about this is, always, you know, on a player by player basis. So for instance, this is actually a really good example. We have Hunter Green at 37% ownership, and then we have Mickey Moniak at 5% ownership. So, you know, having 57% leverage on Hunter Green is a lot different than having 70% leverage on Mickey Moniak. And the reason for that is if you look at your exposure, just your exposure to Hunter Green, you know, he's in about like 2 to 3 times, his exposure is 2 to 3 times his ownership level in your lineups, right? And this is something that we talk about is like kind of okay. If you're trying to find like a balance, if you're trying to have some guardrails, we say like, hey, having exposure that's 2 to 3x the player's ownership usually ends up being like a decent band, a decent measuring stick. Well, then if we go look at Mickey Moniak, right, at 5%, well, 2 to 3x, his ownership is, you know, 10 to 15% exposure. Well, right now he's in 75% of our lineups, which is actually a very, very high number here, right? So, like, this just goes to say, like, all leverage isn't the same. I'd always think about leverage and exposure in relation to the player's ownership here. And, you know, this is, like, what Mininix ultimately solves so well is just, like, being able to increase that Mininix number and then allow the builder to go in and by putting this guardrail on it, by putting this requirement to have so many players different, it makes the builder make tough decisions. It makes the exposures get spread out. So for instance, I jumped my Mininix from 1 to 6. We have 5,000 lineups in the pool, right? And we only need 20 lineups. We've only gone down to lineup 82. So we're still in the top 100 lineups here. And now, you know, the builder has basically decided, hey, okay, if you're going to make me use different players, I really want to keep this exposure to Hunter Green. And I would much rather lose the exposure to Mickey Moniak. So Moniak went from 75% exposure down to 30%. So the builder said, you know what? If I got to make a sacrifice, I'd rather sacrifice his exposure and keep Green's at all costs, right? So that's kind of telling me that, like, hey, the builder really likes Hunter Green today. And the other thing is that, you know, we were at 51 players in our player pool and we jumped all the way up to 93. So the builder added almost twice as many players to our player pool as part of this diversification as well. All right. Good questions there to get us started. Not seeing any more questions here at the moment. So why don't we just like do a little bit of a build demo? So I'll start with like a fresh build one more time here. And you know what? Let's say like we're playing like a 20 max, right? We were talking about like Mininix and 20 maxes here. So let's play a 20 max. So I'm going to make two adjustments, two projections here. Go over to my settings, 20 max, 10 to 50K, all looks well. Whew, excuse me. While lineups build, I'm going to go and create my contest sim. And let's look for a 20 max. And let's just say we're playing the $1 20 max of solo shot, right? So I'm going to go in here, create this contest sim twice. Jump back to my build. And these lineups are finishing up here. So I'm going to use the self sim idea here. So I'm going to jump down to my contest sim settings so I can start to get this set up. I'm going to adjust the name of the second sim here and just note that I'm doing it against my own build here by noting self. I'm going to change the field lineup source in this second contest sim from Saber Sim Ownership to build 3, which is the build that I'm working in here. So now I have a contest sim against the field, contest sim against myself here. And I'm going to kick that off. And then one other thing I've been messing around with is adding an aggregate metric to show me the average projection of my lineups. And, you know, there's been a little bit of discussion around average salary as well. So let's just put both of these things up on the board, right? Average projection, average salary, got our 20 max, got our 20 max contest sim. We're running the sims right now. And we're just waiting for that to finish before we take the next step here. All right. So now that the contest sim finished, I'm going to go and change my sorting metric to the self-sim risk-adjusted ROI, which is what I want to use. And once that adjusts, I'm going to go into my lineup filters. I'm going to add a filter to show ROI greater than zero for both contest sims. And I'm just setting up these filters. Boom. So all is well right here. I'm going to scroll down to the last lineup in my set of 20. So a couple things I'm noting, right? Okay, average projection is about 101 right now. Average salary is about 49.7. And we have about 62 players in our player pool. Great. So let's jump up to mini uniques. And let's just see how this affects it, right? So mini uniques of 6, we lose 1 point of projection, more like 0.9, 0.85. We've only had to go down to lineup 59. The last lineup in our set is still positive ROI. Players in our player pool are up to 92 here. Just taking a peek at some of these exposures. So getting Hunter Green in a lot of lineups and then pretty flat otherwise at the pitcher position. So we're just taking this one big stand on this pitcher. And then as far as our batters go, no batter in more than 40% of our lineups. Looks like we really like Boston tonight. So, you know, I think it's like an opportunity to like maybe try going like a little bit higher. I might try and bump my mini uniques up to 7. And let's see what kind of effect this has. So average projection drops down to like 99.6, where it was at 100.1. So down like 0.5, that's not bad. So I'm actually okay with mini uniques of 7 here. And then now instead of my highest projected, my highest exposed batter being 40%, now the highest exposed batter is 30%. We still have leverage on a number of we only sacrifice a little bit of a projection to get here. Last lineup in our set is still 40% sim ROI. And, you know, these exposures, small leverage, but still like some leverage, right? And especially at the pitcher position. So all this looks good to me right now. I can pop over and check out my stack types. Okay, I have at least a 4 stack in every lineup. That looks great. Hitter exposures are flat like we saw. And then our pitchers look good as well. So I'd be pretty happy with like a mini uniques of 7 here. Now, going back to the earlier question, it's like, I probably could go higher, right? I could go to 8. I could go to 9. But like, based on my own risk tolerance and like what I think, as far as finding a balance between risk and leverage. And so this is where I would settle. Question in the YouTube chat, any 2 pitchers I should have in a 1 entry tournament? So, you know, the best way to do this is like to kind of come into SaberSim and like run some builds. You know, if I were you, I would say like, hey, you know, Hunter Green, the builder really seems to like Hunter Green today. You know, increasing mini uniques isn't wavering that exposure. His pool exposure is higher than his ownership by like 10%. So there's some positive leverage in the pool here. So, you know, Hunter Green seems like a pretty solid play, all things considered. And then the builder is taking a lot of shots on different pitchers beyond him, right? So it's hard to say like who there isn't like a clear cut, like, hey, you know, second pitcher, the builder's kind of doing some different things here. But I will personally be rooting against Hunter Green today. Nacho Alvarez making his debut for the Braves is a family member, and I will be I'm not particularly keen on how much Saber Sim likes Hunter Green, unfortunately. Oh, I wonder if he's even in the player pool. I'm going to have to check this out after this to see if he's even on DraftKings yet, but that'll be interesting as well to see if he's not even in the player pool. But yeah, just small note there. All right, taking a peek here. No more questions in the YouTube chat. No more questions in the Discord. So I think we're going to get out of here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be right back here tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.